Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. If you've moved in the last 12 months on the North Coast, you know the problem all too well. Housing, whether single-family homes for sale or multifamily apartments for rent, is in short supply, to say the least. With the region's burgeoning economy and growing popularity, construction of housing units has fallen far short of demand. The shortage has reached the point that some residents have resorted to camping in local parks or doubling and tripling up with friends or family members, and the problem doesn't appear to have a quick end in sight. Today, I am teaming up with the Daily Historian for a panel discussion on what many say is the biggest problem facing the North Coast, a shortage of housing at all price points and types. In the studio today to discuss the problem are Kevin Leahy, Executive Director of Clatsop Economic Development Resource, Heather Hansen, Community Development Director for Clatsop County, and David Perro, Editor and Group Publisher of the Daily Historian and several other North Coast newspapers. Welcome to the studio, Kevin, Heather, and David.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I think I'll throw the first question to you, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
If you could just lay some more context for the issue before we get into more specific questions.
Sure. Well, I would say what has really caused a lot of the shortage is, like you said at the opening here, our improved economy. The last several years, we've had a very improved economy. And you look at Clatsop County's employment, for example, over the last 12 years, mm-hmm. Joan, has increased 15%. And the housing units has not kept up with that. For example, occupied housing, meaning year-round residents, is up 7%, but in the city of Astoria, it's flat. And vacant housing units, which is vacation homes, second homes, etc., is up 19% in the county and up 15% in Astoria. So the year-round resident pool, if you will, has gone down. Employment's gone up, and it's caused some significant issues.
Okay, thank you. Heather, anything to add to that from the county level?
Well, from the county's perspective, just a brief background, the Oregon Land Use Program was developed and intended to protect farm and forest land and to avoid sprawl as well. So development is expected to be concentrated inside of cities and urban growth boundaries. So there isn't as much a county can do in the unincorporated areas, but there are some things I think we can do, and we could talk about that.
Okay. You touched on this, Kevin, but when did the problem become most acute? Or begin to become acute?
Well, you know, I grew up here in Astoria. Jonah moved away for many years and came back here to take this current position like 5.5 years ago. And I would say that then, like the price of houses, for example, were I wouldn't say affordable because it's all relative to your income, correct? But over the next few years, I would say over the last 3 years, it's really become more acute. And I gave a presentation and an update to the Astoria Planning Commission a few weeks ago. And again, this is one of those fact-check things, but when I double-checked Zillow's home pricing here in Astoria, it was almost $300,000, for example, which when you look at people's income level, that's significantly higher than it was 3 years ago. And that isn't just Astoria, that's countywide.
Wow. And David, I know the Daily Historian just did a big series in October on the housing crisis, and you're relatively new to the community. What is your perspective with fresh eyes coming into this community?
Well, Joan, I would say it's two things. The first is a lot of folks talk about affordable housing, and it's not truly affordable housing because affordable housing has a connotation that it's low income, that it's for low, you know, that it's a problem that only affects low income. And our series, what we tried to do was put a face on it, that it goes across all platforms, all income levels, and in all areas. It's not just Astoria. It's in Seaside. It's in Cannon Beach. It's in Long Beach. It's through the entire region. The second thing is that no matter who I talked to when I first got here, I always asked everybody, what's the number one issue? Well, the number one issue from everybody was housing, and so that gave me a starting point. And I can tell you that everywhere that I've been, that's been the issue.
Yeah, I can relate to that too. I recently moved back to the area after being gone for a number of years, and I'm struck by how many relative newcomers there are to the community. When I lived here before, there weren't that many people moving in. So is that also complicating the issue with Portland and Seattle real estate prices being through the roof for most of us?
I think that that's a key part of it, absolutely. I mean, you have the individuals throughout the county who see there's still an affordability factor here from a second home or a retirement perspective. But on the other side, you have these young entrepreneurs that have moved here over the last few years. And that has really accelerated. Again, you know, I'm also the director of our Small Business Development Center through Clatsop Community College. And we meet with hundreds of businesses yearly. And the amount of entrepreneurs that are moving here that can telecommute, that can do other things, and they're not tied to a physical location is also kind of exasperating the situation. It's kind of both ends, if you will.
Are we seeing a problem with people moving from areas where real estate is considerably higher, say California, coming in here with much more buying power, squeezing out?
Yes, I mean I've heard stories from some locals about cash offers and offers above asking price, like you would see in California, where I lived for 17 years. So mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Who is most affected by the shortage and the inflation in prices for both homes and apartments?
Well, I think it affects a lot of people, but of course it's going to affect the folks on the lower end of the income spectrum the most. And in this economy, there is a lot of tourist-related businesses in this economy. And so folks, if they're making barely more than minimum wage, they're having a really hard time. I talk to people, I joke about, I'm doing, you know, some research. I go to bars and restaurants and ask, you know, if someone is new, what are they doing? And a lot of people are couch surfing or living in their car. They just can't find a place that they could afford, or they're sharing a house. You know, like if you were in college, there's like two people to a bedroom. It's pretty serious.
And I think it's kind of like that vertical approach where it absolutely at the workforce, that side, and David said aptly about the affordable housing, however that percentage is, it's at all income levels. But we are really looking at if we could move the mark on each of those increments to open up how the people that are couch surfing can get their first apartment. The people that have their one-bedroom apartment can get into a two- or three-bedroom apartment. Those people can then start renting a nicer townhouse. Then you can buy your first home, which opens up on, and on and on and on. I mean, there's a development happening. I work in Seaside. I live here in Astoria, but work in Seaside. Our Cedar office is at the South County campus at South Classic Community College. And I know that the Popkin Real Estate is developing there by Reed and Herdig. I think it's like 80 one-acre home units. So that's going to be wonderful. That's also going to be upscale housing. But again, people perhaps that are living in that ranch-style home, if you will, or whatever you want to define it at, looking to purchase there, that can open up that housing. And there's that trickle effect upward. I think it's very, very key here also.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. Back to what you mentioned earlier, whenever there is a major event of some sort that brings people from outside the area into town, our planning office that Monday gets a flood of phone calls from people who had come here for that event and just love the area, and they want to know.
That's in the summer, right?
For the most part. But
they
start looking for housing because they want to find a place here, and being from Portland or somewhere else where housing is more expensive, they think the prices are reasonable. And I also have personally run into that where when I first got here 2.5 years ago, I was looking at houses and I was feeling pretty good about it, but I had a lease, you know, on my place. And just in a year, there were housing prices went up almost $100,000 on those same houses that I was looking at. And there's people I'd heard, I don't know this for a fact, but I heard that there's a father and son team that was looking for the same thing I was, which is a fixer-upper with good, you know, structurally sound, and buying them and fixing them up and flipping them, you know, in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And so that really drives the price
up,
too.
Considerably more.
Yeah.
Well, when you have, say, 80 houses coming on the market relatively close together, I would assume,
mm-hmm.
does that help ease the price inflation on other homes around the area or not that much?
I would say that probably not too much.
Yeah, okay.
I would say realistically not too much because it's all supply and demand. I mean, I do know that there's been some discussion here locally about apartments and about rentals. And that there's some thought process, and some landlords have said that that's really softened so that there are vacancies. And so obviously that you have to take them at their word because they're landlords and property owners. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is I do know that that some of the apartment rentals have gone up. So when you raise the rent of an apartment $100 or $200 per month, that can make a difference in person, the people's affordability. And so again, back to the supply and demand factor, if you start having more vacancies at those higher prices, maybe it'll start going down. I mean, that's a potential opportunity, but
yeah.
we're not really seeing that in great numbers at this point.
Yeah. Well, with so many people moving to the area, do we risk our communities becoming second home communities?
Well, you know, Joan, I was, you know, because we've known each other from many years ago, been a few times, and I was thinking this morning because I live here in Astoria, and I grew up on 17th and Irving, and a fourth generation Astorian. My ancestors came over here, my great grandfather from Ireland in 1879. And I look at my family home and our neighborhood and think about growing up there on Irving right below the college. We had like 25, 30 kids in our neighborhood, and now it's, for the most part, it's second homes or so. And again, you know, we welcome people that decide to come here. And this is not saying don't come, but I think that has impacted.
Yeah. Is it because those homes are just out of reach for young families price-wise?
I don't know necessarily. I know that in the case of my father's home, which was a very simple home, it was my mother's home back, you know, from the 1922s, her family bought it. Simple home, but it was bought as a rental. And so it was really at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were still in California, I'm thinking back 8 years ago after my father passed away and then selling the home and realizing that, you know, there was no offers really to have it as a primary residency. So, but that it was 8 years ago, you think about, you know, we had a business in California that we ended up closing because of the recession. So that was back in the kind of a different era, recession,
oh, yeah,
depression,
definitely.
Whatever you want to call it. So it was a different time. But I would say now with the opportunity, I mean, like you had quoted about Seattle, Portland, the Bay Area, I mean, the affordability when you look at it relative to like Palo Alto or Seattle or Portland. So, and I think it does disadvantage. We talk about, Heather mentioned about the growth of the service sector, which is very, very important to our economy. But also you look at like our forest products industry, which is still so key here, and fishing. And you look at people that are young families that are now unable to buy that first home because it's gone up that her quote of 100,000.
Coast Guard, exactly.
Okay. Well, Kevin, you stated in one of the Daily Astorian articles from this series in October that the housing crunch, if we can't get more housing units on the market, the economy will suffer. Mm-hmm. Explain why that is.
Well, Joan, we're seeing right now, again, working with clients daily, our advising team and being part of CEDAR and our board and the community at large, working with businesses that they will not expand, they can't expand if you can't find employees to come here. Again, that planning commission meeting that I quoted that I was at, Nicole Williams from Clatsop Care was there also giving, I'd like to say, testimony, comments about the difficulty of finding employees. I know that have had a recent discussion with Eric Thorson, and Columbia Memorial Hospital is our second largest employer in the county after GP Wanamill. And he's also talked about the difficulty in attracting and retaining not just doctors, but at all levels. Some other comments that I think will if we cannot find a solution, it's a countywide, it's a region-wide issue. But I think about, you know, some examples here. I'm very involved in the Downtown Astoria Group, the ADHDA, and we work with the downtown businesses. If this community doesn't grow, you're going to have the downtown businesses will suffer because you have they talk about the people that live up on the hill that come down, that they need more of those. And if you don't have more year-round residents, that's going to impact that. I know that restaurants and other businesses are doing very well, but a lot of that is from the tourist-based side of things. And we have to have a year-round business across the board if our merchants are going to survive. You know, some interesting facts that I looked at is the school district. You know, I talk to Craig Hoppus all the time, the other school superintendents. There's been a 10% decrease in enrollment in Astoria schools the last 10 years. 10% decrease. Warrington is through the roof, which is fabulous. And they're doing trailers and talking about bond measures and all those things that are covered in the Daily Astorian. But you look at, so why is that? Well, because people can't afford to live here in Astoria. Mm-hmm. So I think that would all, if you don't have vibrant schools, if you don't have young families, if you don't have, you think about business owners that, you know, that own small businesses, they're really very, very engaged in the community. And I'm not saying that retirees are not, because they choose different focuses, which is also very, very important. But I think that also, you know, the vibrancy of our community is, would suffer if we still continue to have that. So there's just some examples that, I'd like to answer to.
Great. Thank you.
Well, while you were talking, Kevin, I was thinking, too, if some businesses are trying to be creative to provide housing, like Pelican Brewing.
Yes.
In Cannon Beach, you know more about that probably than I do. But what was it? They bought a apartments?
Well, you know, it's interesting with Pelican because they have apartments that are right on the backside of their pub, and they have employees living there. But I'm told that, that their desire is to convert that into like a motel because they can get more income. And that's also an ongoing issue that, that we face. But it's interesting you bring up Cannon Beach. We just Cedar hosts a monthly meeting with the city managers from the, all of Clatsop County and North Tillamook County. And it's wonderful sharing time, and other individuals come. Jeff Hazen, for example, from Sunset Empire Transportation District. In Cannon Beach, again, it was covered in the Daily Sun and other media about the Cannon Beach is being very proactive. I mean, it's taken a long time. And I'm not going to say that we had anything to do with it on the Cedar. It was really the community of Cannon Beach had appointed an ad hoc citizen committee. And a lot of them were people that had skin in the game. They were landlords, et cetera. But now there's an approach about adding these manufactured homes. What's I'm trying to
tiny homes?
Not it's not tiny homes. It's a special name, like Parker Home. There's some name. It's
Park Models.
Park Models.
Yeah.
And they're going to put it into their the park, the RV park there in Cannon Beach, and they're going to start with four units. Brant Casera, city manager, was sharing this. I'd asked him to give an update at our lunch meeting because all the cities are represented. And again, never in a kind of in-your-face way, and why, how come you're not doing it, but here's some ideas. And they're also talking about building some townhouses because they obviously, I mean, you look at the average price of a home in Cannon Beach, it's, I think, $600,000. So it's a whole different ball game. But they also talk about they want to have a school again. They want to have people that live in the community and not having to come from Seaside Warren to North Tillamook County, et cetera. So on the Cannon Beach side of things, I think they're making some progress. And also the city of Warrington, Linda Ingridson, the new city manager in Warrington, I also asked her and Skip Erling, planning director, to update because the city of Warrington has a lot of things that they're working on, multiple housing units, significant developments down the road, which I think, again, I think this is all good. Anytime you have a solution, one by one, it helps the whole. And again, I think just here in Astoria, just continue to have the discussion with Brad Estes, Mayor Lemire, et cetera, on solutions, because there are solutions here in Astoria.
Okay, and we'll get to talking about those after a short break. If you're just joining me today, you are listening to a discussion of the North Coast Housing Crunch on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. We'll be right back after a very short break. Welcome back to Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joan Herman. We are discussing the North Coast Housing Crunch with Kevin Leahy, the Executive Director of Clatsop Economic Development Resource, Heather Hansen, the Community Development Director for Clatsop County, and David Perro, editor and publisher of the Daily Astorian and several other North Coast newspapers. I would like to talk about some of the solutions. And I'm curious, if you all could wave a magic wand, what would you see happening to solve this problem? David, do you have any thoughts on that?
I would start with economic diversification. Right now, we have pretty much a tourist-based economy in most of the areas. When you look at, for instance, Cannon Beach, 66% of their general fund, it comes from tourism dollars. So, you know, you take that away, and they don't have much from a revenue standpoint. So I think that It starts there, and then moves from the diversification to planned growth, not just growth for growth's sake, but growth where it can occur. Because one of the things that I've seen, for instance, in Astoria, there's not many places to build. I mean, there just isn't. And so land is an issue. And I think that when you start thinking about urban growth areas and things like that, I think that there has to be a long-term strategy for that. And I haven't seen that so far. I mean, I'm new to the area, but I haven't seen a lot of discussion about that.
Okay.
I would agree with you, David. I would say that Astoria specifically looking at opportunities. I think that to have the openness and willingness to have discussion across the board, and that's both from the elected side and the community side, and to understand and respect divergent viewpoints. And again, growing up here, I mean, I look at the blank block there where Central Grade School used to be there on Irving. It's an entire block that's like nothing but land. And I know there was an attempt to build some townhouses there a few years ago, Dick Kruger, and it was voted down. So I'm just saying that, to me, that's an example of people say, well, God, this problem is so large. Well, you know what? And at the Cedar board level, we have decided, because we were having and hosting and facilitating large group meetings with mayors and countywide and the cities, and it wasn't really moving the needle because every community is unique and what their needs are. So again, we talked about collaboration and working together and connecting people is really our approach, and that has been successful. But I would say that in here in Astoria, where you look at that, so why not look at that block again? You know, you look at all the vacant buildings here in the community. You look at downtown here. And I think about an example. I like to look at concrete examples. And again, you have landlords, property owners, but just look at, like, for example, the Malternative right across from Estuary Brewing. Upstairs there used to be a hotel. Well, could that be an opportunity to convert that into housing? And again, there's always issues, but how can you get that on the table? And David had mentioned about urban growth boundaries. I know that's a very sensitive subject everywhere. But you look at East Astoria, there is opportunity in East Astoria to do development and building. Significant opportunity that could address the housing shortage here. And I know there's the discussion about the urban forest. Well, Clatsop County is 99% forest, right? So we have the urban forest, but it's not unique. I mean, it's unique, but we have forests all around us. So I think that should be something that should be on the table quickly as an example of some opportunity.
Okay. Heather?
I think we just need to think very creatively across the board, and diversity is another word in housing as well, where it, you know, I think a lot of the local developers are accustomed to your more traditional standard kind of development. It's not that they're not bright or caring. It's just that they're used to building like houses in a subdivision or an apartment, not necessarily multifamily that's designed in a more creative way, you know, with an interior courtyard or townhomes. That's not really their thing. But so there's the supply side and the knowledge and creativity from developers, but there's also support that's needed from the local jurisdictions.
Well, and that's a very good point. I had a recent discussion with John Gutenberger. I'm part of the college, and obviously John is a well-respected individual here in the community and sort of preservation, et cetera. But looking at the development opportunities to have it that would be tasteful, and Brent Brand mentioned that also in Cannon Beach, looking at tasteful development. And I also wanted to mention, Joan, on the list, the college, we have Chris Breitmeyer, our new president, and we're undertaking a strategic plan. And I've been tasked with the external side of it, like what the community needs, what the businesses need, et cetera. And you look at internally and externally, if we can't grow housing for our students, I'm not saying dedicated housing, but places for our students to be able to live, that also is going to impact our growth of the college and of our community.
We talked about something, whether it would work or not, but as an idea of being creative, is that the college, the students need housing mostly during what we would classify as the school year. There's still students that take classes in the summer. But that would open that housing up potentially for the service sector workforce that's here mostly in the summer.
Yeah.
So, if there was a way to do that. But there's all these different agencies and entities trying to solve their own problems, which is understandable. What we need is some way to think more regionally and make that work. I mean, you're trying really hard.
Well, I would also say we're working on a strategy. Tillamook County, for example, has undertaken. They've actually gotten investments from some of their major employers, like the Creamery. And they've hired a consultant who has really kind of like herd of the cat, so to speak, and worked on that approach. I received a call actually the other day from, I believe, my counterpart up in Grays Harbor. And I guess they have the youngest mayor in America that was selected in Aberdeen, age 25,
right.
He was telling me.
I remember that.
And he wanted to know about what we were doing here in Clatsop County, and they're going to come on down. And he said their number one issue in Aberdeen and Hokum, surprise, is housing. So, I think that's our next approach, is to look how we can get some funding together, both public and private, because it isn't all about put your hand out and ask the government to give money, but looking, requesting some dollars from to get more organized on this, mm-hmm. because you're right, we're all working really hard on this. But that is going to be the next step that we're working on.
So what would the funding be for?
Well, you know what, I'm actually studying what they've done in Tillamook County, Joan, right now. Mary MacArthur, who is the executive director of COLPAC, which is the Economic Development District, she's been very, very closely working with myself, Heather, and others on this issue. And she's been keeping me abreast, as well as Mike Cohen, who's my counterpart in Tillamook County, and to see the work that they've done. So it's one of those, they're in the stage right now of analysis and review, but I'm told that the information, the data is really good. And so utilizing that perhaps as a template for what we can do here in Clatsop County. I do know also we had a COLPAC regional meeting last week, and Mark Labhart, who is the retiring county commissioner down one of them in Tillamook County, just talked about another wonderful housing project that they're developing in Garibaldi. And I'm sorry, but it's kind of just like I feel like a gut punch, not in the sense, wow, good for them. But again, we're working on things. Mm-hmm. You just have to work harder.
Yeah, one thing the county, in talking with county management, there's a lot of support for, this is a small thing to do, but it could help with the big picture, is the county sometimes comes into ownership of property through foreclosure or other reasons. And we do have the ability to transfer that property to a nonprofit for housing development. So we have talked about some potential for doing that, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And then, as I was saying in the beginning, you know, we're supposed to concentrate development inside cities and UGBs, but there are areas in the county that had existing clusters of development before our urban growth boundaries were formed and, you know, all the planning was done back in the 70s and 80s that have the potential to have maybe tasteful multifamily, you know, townhomes, smaller homes. We just need to try everything.
Well, and we're working, of course, with the City of Astoria, Advance Astoria, Kevin Cronin and Brett Esses, and Council's leading that with Astoria's vision for the future. And I moderated a panel about a month ago that Kevin Cronin had organized as the Community Development Director for the City of Astoria, and had specific questions, but it kept coming back to what's housing. And again, I think that can be part of Astoria's Advance Astoria plan. Housing, of course, is a key part of it. We're talking about what additional industries do we want here that are clean industries that can thrive and survive here in Astoria, but where are they going to live? So yeah. same thing.
Right. David, any thoughts to add to that?
I think that Kevin's been touching on a lot of the big issues. And, I mean, I see economic diversification as a big key to this, but it's also a catch-22 because, as Kevin just said, you know, if you have businesses but you don't have housing, then it's not solving anything. But if you have to work together from a public and private standpoint to come to those solutions, to come up with the creativeness and the innovation to try to solve what you can solve.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we are going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. But thank you so much for an interesting discussion, Kevin, Heather, and David.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, John.
Kevin Leahy is the Executive Director of Clatsop Economic Development Resource. Heather Hansen is the Community Development Director for Clatsop County. And David Perro is the editor and publisher of the Daily Astorian and other small newspapers on the North Coast. And I want to give a special thanks to David for organizing the panel discussion and to Albert Smith for engineering the show. I hope you can join me in 2 weeks for another edition of Perspectives. Up next is Friday Folk with Albert.